Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. This is a live show, 9 o'clock on Sunday nights, and the point of the show is to talk about what you can anticipate happening in the week ahead cosmologically, astrologically, depending on how you think, and how we're going to see that show up here on Earth. Because one of the things that does happen when the planets are dancing in the heavens and causing all sorts of excitement is that we notice it down here on Earth. We actually are really very tuned into it. Years and years and years, astrologers have been gazing at the heavens and noticing the correlation between what happens above and what happens below. So we do know that there's a really profound correlation. And the point of this show is every week to kind of talk to you about what's happening so that you can know how to work with the energy. You have an idea of what it feels like. You know, you kind of are going, oh, yeah, you know, she said it was going to feel like this, and oh, yeah, that's what's going on. So, okay, I'm right in tune with the universe. So we're going to talk this week about what's happening, and then we're going to have a little astrology lesson in the middle. And then we'll take callers, and we have a couple of questions from listeners. So we'll kind of cover the gamut in the hour we have allotted to us. So I want you to know this week is going to be really big, really, really big. And as I sit here at my bright red desk with the cat purring on the corner, he's getting much too big to sit there, really. He's about to find a new place to live because there isn't a lot of room on the desk for me, the cat, and the computer. But right now, he's cool. And we're looking at a big week. We're looking at a very, very big week. Lots and lots going on in the heavens. And a lot of turbulence. This is a turbulent week. So we have in order, but not necessarily in preference in terms of what you're going to notice. We have Saturn stationing. We have Mercury stationing to go direct. We have an eclipse. We have Jupiter entering a new sign, Pisces. We have Venus entering a new sign, Aquarius. And we have the Sun entering a new sign, Aquarius. Now, Venus and the Sun enter next week, but they kind of fall in the turbulence of this week just because that's a lot of stuff to happen in 7 days. So Saturn stations on the 13th. Jupiter enters Pisces on the 17th, and then the eclipse and the Mercury retrograde going direct are the 15th. So basically, there's a whole huge thing going on. And your job is to kind of say, okay, got it. You know, we're in the middle of this amazing, amazing time. And what's going on for me? You know, and that's what we're going to be talking about with this week. What it feels like energetically, what it looks like energetically, how you are working with it, and how it's kind of connected into you, and what the whole energy of it's about. So your job is to say, okay, cool, got it. You know, I'm really working with this. I'm getting the process. I'm getting the procedures. I understand what it looks like and how it feels. And with that in mind, then let me work with it in this capacity and in this manner. And that's really all you can ask when you're, you know, when we're working with a lot of planetary energy, we really have to say, okay, I'm really in the middle of this big cycle and I'm trying to figure out how it all works. And in that middle of the big cycle, let me kind of say, okay, what's the next piece? How does it happen? Where do we go from there? And I just got a note from my computer saying my internet connection was severed. So I don't think that affects how you guys hear me, but it may affect how I pick up phone calls. So we'll see what's going on. It's always excitement here at Ann Ortley's radio show. It never seems to happen to anybody else but me. I guess I shouldn't take it personally. Okay, so we'll talk about the week. We'll talk about the lessons. And then hopefully we'll be able to take some callers later on. And forward we go. So it's flashing in a very weird way, saying I only have 2 of the 4 lights I'm supposed to have. So I don't know what that means, but we'll see if the computer comes back. Okay, so forward we go. Let's talk about the week and not pay attention to the flashing lights. And, you know, these people do not care. Eric, go there on the Internet Explorer. Can't display my webpage. Okay, forward. All right, so the week ahead, in all its lively glory, complete with a whatever. Who knows what's going on with Time Warner Cable? I have no control over these things. All right, so we're looking at the week of January 11th through the 17th. And so it's a big one, you know, because we've got the Saturn station, we have the Mercury retrograde, we have the eclipse, we have the Jupiter moving, we have Venus moving, and we have the Sun moving on Monday and Tuesday next week. So that's a lot of energy shifting, changing, moving. So first up, let's talk about the Saturn retrograde. Saturn's going to stop on Wednesday, the 13th. Now, when planets stop in the sky, we know they don't actually stop. But from our perspective on Earth, they appear to stop and go backwards. And what that looks like is they pause and they kind of reverse in visual. It's an optical illusion. You know how like when you're driving in a car next to somebody and you're going at the same speed and you can look in the window and see them really clearly? And then they appear to be going backwards because you're accelerating faster than them. So in the case of the outer planets, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pisces, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto, they all stop and go backwards during the course of the year. Mercury, we know, goes backwards 3 to 4 times a year, and Venus and Mars go once every year and a half, 2 years. The Sun and the Moon never go backwards. They never station and have retrogrades. We're always evolving, we're always growing, we're always feeling things. But when the outer planets stop, or the big planets stop, it appears that they pause, and for the few days before, i.e. this week, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we feel the energy build, and we feel like it's kind of like a pulsing thing, that it grows, and it gets stronger, and it gets bigger, and it gets deeper and harder and longer. And then we're like, oh, my God, you know, I'm feeling all this tension. I'm feeling all this anxiety. I'm feeling all this, I don't know what to do with it. And because it is in the sign of Saturn, it's going to affect our structures. So we had it today already. We had an airplane. Saturn's in the sign of Libra, which rules air. The airplane landed, but it didn't have very good landing gear. So it kind of did a bump, bump, bomb, bomb, and landed on the ground. It landed okay, but not great. Then we're going to have a series of structural issues because Saturn rules structure. So we can expect like things to kind of break, collapse, happen. This is also a good time for earthquakes because Saturn rules the Earth. So we did have an earthquake in California. So this week we'll have some earthquakes. We'll have some structural failures. We'll have things kind of collapse and end. We'll have issues with our authorities because Saturn is our authority, our bosses, our leaders. We've got Harry Reid being talked about for having said, you know, Barack Obama didn't have a Negro accent and that he was a pale black man, so he could maybe get elected. You know, we're going to hear things like that kind of people go, oh, wow. You know, Bill of Virginia wrote and said, you know, Timothy Geithner, you know, he did this thing where told AIG to pay 100% on the dollar back to Goldman Sachs when they were negotiating for partials. Is he going to be sacrificed? We'll talk about that a little later, Bill. I know that was a teaser. I'm mean to you, but Bill of Virginia can take it. He's an Aries. He likes to be teased. So we're looking at a whole energy of this structural changes. Now, when Saturn stops and stations, what he's going to do is he's going to go back to the stories from September and October. And he's going to go back and wake those stories up in April, May, June, part of July, and finish them up. So you thought you were done with September and October, but not really. He's going to retrograde back into Virgo. And as he goes back into Virgo, he wakes that energy up and he says, okay, we're back. We're back in Virgo. And now what are we going to do? And so your job is to say, we're going to be working on this for a while, aren't we? Yeah, cool. Because we are. We're going to be going back in time to the fall and reviewing. So this week, forward motion appears to stop in the Saturn section of your chart, with Saturn saying, we want to go back and pick that up again. Can we pick that up again, please? And clean up the situation from the fall. And that's part one. Part two, because he's a structural planet, he rules fathers, he rules authority, he rules our existence on Earth. You will find structural issues in your life want to change, relationships particularly, because Saturn's in Libra. So he's wanting to have this conversation with the relationship energy of your chart, and he's really interested in kind of pushing on that. He's also interested in negotiating relationships. So Saturn stopping in Libra, and on my Yahoo this morning was this thing saying, all the weird couples that are announcing they're going to get married. And you would look at Marilyn Manson and you would say, why would Marilyn Manson get married? But he is. You know, it's that kind of energy. Because Saturn in Libra wants us to make some kind of commitment to partner or it wants us to end our commitment to partner. Or it wants to say to partner, you know I said I was going to do this, but I think I changed my mind. I think I want to go back and, you know, and kind of do a little more Virgo stuff. Can I get back to you in June, July? And if partner says that to you, say, yes, fine, go away. I'll see you in July. Give me a call then. And actually, Saturn isn't going to be back to the place he is now until we get to September, truth be told. But you're going to be wanting to work with this energy in a redo, revise, revisit way. So it's about restructuring, rebuilding, revamping. So things are going to stop this week on forward motion, particularly around work. This should be a fairly big week for layoffs and for companies closing. You know, they'll announce, well, you know, we made it through the Christmas sales, but now we're going to say we're shutting down. And it'll kind of be a shock on one level, but on another level, not so much. So that's the other part with Saturn stationing. So we're in the tension place now, the first few days of this week, and then the eclipse happens. And the eclipse is on Friday, or on Thursday if you live in Australia and England. We do have Australia and England listeners, so we have to accommodate them. And it is at 2:11 in the morning on the east coast of the 15th. And it is a solar eclipse, which means it's a new moon. Now, when the solar eclipse happens, it does a couple things. It wakes up the eclipse from before, you know, the eclipses that we had last summer that were pretty much, you know, a lot of people dying and stuff. And it says, okay, that eclipse story, let's finish it up. And now we're ready to go forward with a new eclipse story. Let's start a new story. And that's also what happens on a new moon. Now, this eclipse is a 25 Capricorn. And 25 Capricorn, it's close to the nodal axis, meaning it's going to be a pretty big eclipse in terms of the world. We're going to actually see it. And because it is a solar eclipse, we're not going to see it in the United States. We're going to see it. It's going to be seen overseas. And we are in the process at this point of saying, okay, where, you know, the eclipse energy brings up in a major feeling for all of us of, oh, wow, that's like really cool. So the eclipse on January 15th is called a central eclipse, and it's an annular eclipse, meaning it's not a full complete eclipse, but it covers a fair amount of land. And why am I not seeing my, let me see my partial eclipse lines. Okay, so the eclipse actually starts in the middle of Africa, and it runs across Nairobi and Mogadishu, and it runs down as far as Cape Town and up as far as Moscow. And then it goes across that whole area of the Indian Ocean going towards Bombay and Delhi, with most of the sign of it being seen. It actually is seen in Beijing, and it also goes across Thailand and the bottom part of India. Okay, it's got some energy up in Bombay area, but it basically is across the Indian Ocean through Asia, through Beijing. So we're going to be seeing it pretty strong, and, you know, it brings up, we're not going to be seeing it. They're going to be seeing it. And where they see it, that energy of the world, that part of the world will be the hot spots in the next 6 months. So we can expect a bunch of stuff out of Nairobi and Tanzania and out of the middle part of Africa, because the thing starts and kind of looks like really actually pretty near Victoria Falls, truth be told, and then rolls across the ocean, across the bottom of India, and then up across into China, up to Beijing. And it is seen in Hong Kong, and it's seen in Manila, and it's seen in Kuala Lumpur, and then as high as Russia, up into Moscow. But that's kind of they have very partial viewing. And it's partially visible in Cairo, Baghdad, and Tehran. But mainly Africa, Western Africa, and Bombay. So what happens is when we have an eclipse, the eclipse lights up that section of the world, and it says, okay, this is the hot spot now. So that'll be the hot spot for the next 6 months. So we always want to watch when the eclipse points get triggered. And the eclipse that we had immediately before that one, the eclipse that we had on July 22nd, was a total eclipse. And that was in pretty much the same area, only it was more through India. So we've had a little hot spots in India. We had the bombing in India. We have had a number of activities, but it's basically the eclipses are running the same lines or very similar lines. And if you go to the NASA website, NASA, you can see the eclipses, where they fall. And the pattern of visibility is the section to watch, because that's the part that makes the energy be hot. And we'll talk a little bit more about eclipses. So the eclipse happens that day. The other thing that happens that day is Mercury stations to go direct. Now, Mercury's been going retrograde since Christmas, the day after Christmas. And now he's stopping and he's going forward. And he's about to say, okay, these are the new rules, because Mercury's in Capricorn, and when he's in Capricorn, he can be a little bossy. Not that we don't like Capricorns, but they are a little opinionated people. So he is stopping on the day of the eclipse, and he is stopping right next to Pluto, which means that the news will be serious news. The information that you hear on the eclipse will be serious news. What eclipses do, because one of the lights goes out, in this case the sun's light goes out by the moon, so the solar energies, the males, are much more affected. The eclipse that we had on New Year's was the women, because it was the lunar part, it was the emotions. This eclipse is the men and the solar energy in the world. So when the eclipse happens on the sun, you know, the leaders of countries used to get real excited, because they'd be like, geez, am I going to get taken out? Because the eclipse is, you know, on the sun and I'm the king. Not a good thing. Actually, there was one king that killed two. He had twin astrologers, and they didn't tell him about the eclipse that was coming. He noticed it anyway, and he killed them. That was in the days when being an astrologer was a dangerous job. Now it's not quite so dangerous. Kings don't listen to us anymore. Well, actually, they do, but they don't tell anybody. So the Mercury retrograde station, Mercury's been going backwards in Capricorn, and he's going to go forwards again in the new, you know, starting now, and retrace his steps and redo the story from December. Now, on the new moon eclipse, Venus is also joined with the sun. Okay, so this is going to be a very important eclipse around relationships. Remember, we just had Saturn station like 2 days before. And in the chart cast for the United States, the eclipse is in the third house. So it's about communications and communications about money. So Bill's question about Tim Geithner, probably, yes, Tim's going down, Bill, but we'll tell you more later. It also is, if we go back to the eclipse that took place on Christmas, on New Year's Eve, that eclipse was on the moon at 10. So the sun and the moon were opposite each other, and the moon was on the south node. So we had the CIA people that were blown up in Afghanistan, and we also had the underpant bomber guy who tried to blow up planes, but he was on the sun Jupiter for the United States chart in the seventh house, so he got seen trying to light his pants on fire, and people stopped him. And probably, truth be told, the plastic explosives after flying for all those hours were probably a little wet and slimy, and maybe they just didn't light fast, you know? I don't think they, when they developed plastic explosives, they necessarily thought, and I know this is a little crude, that they'd be hanging down in someone's genitals getting sweated on. You know how sweaty and smelly that part can get on occasion? And imagine you're going to blow the plane up in like 7 hours. One would think you'd sweat a bit on that plane. So aside from that very bad, but I have to say, I just, you know, the New York Post is one of the tabloids in New York, and it has really, really good headlines, I have to say. I actually saved the headlines for the last decade we had, because they had to pick the best Post headlines, hard to do. The boys at the headline department are really good. So they called this one Great Balls of Fire, which really was, you know, not so great balls of fire. So at any rate, the eclipse is on the Friday, and the Mercury is on Friday. So now what happens is then this week brings to light things that you've known on some level, you've heard about, you've seen happening, but you really didn't know what the true story was. Now you're going to see the story. Now you're going to get it. You're going to understand what actually has been going on. You're going to see it on a different level. And that's what eclipses do. They bring history and they bring hidden things to light. Then we have Jupiter changing signs. Now, when Jupiter changes signs, it happens once a year. And he's going into Pisces, which is a sign he happens to love. It's a sign he rules. And I know some of you go, no, Neptune rules Pisces. Well, Jupiter ruled it for all the thousands of years before Neptune was discovered in the 1800s. So Jupiter rules Pisces too. It's one of his favorite signs because who is bigger than the ocean? You know, it's the ocean so wide. So he is the king of Jupiter. He is the king of Pisces, loves to be in Pisces, loves to expand, and he goes into water on the 17th, and he's going to be in water this year. He's going to be in water for a while, and then he goes into Aries for a smidgy in July, August, or June, July, rather, and then he goes back into Pisces for the back end of the year. So he's in Pisces this year, and he's shifting out of Aquarius, where he's been for the last year. And when he's in Aquarius, he's all about communication and connection and talking and chatting and whatever. And when he goes into Pisces, he becomes much more sentimental and emotional. He also becomes much more fluid. It's a much more natural place for Jupiter to be. If you know anything about Jupiter, the planet, he's a big gassy guy. He's full of Neptunian air. He's very watery and misty and kind of a gaseous fellow. I don't think he's actually watery, but he's misty. And so putting him in Pisces, which is kind of a watery, misty sign, is a really good place for him. And that's a change that is very quick. So when it goes from air to water, think about when you dive from the edge of the swimming pool into the water, that change in energy, the change in the feeling of the water flowing against your skin, especially if you've been baking in the sun by the side of the pool, and that kind of shiver of cold and chill, but at the same time, a really profound energy and really profound feeling around immersion and everything kind of flowing and connected. And that you can feel as you're diving through the water, or swimming through the water, underwater, you can feel the water moving against your face. And it's a very different qualitative feeling than the air against your face. And it also is a very different energy, meaning air into water is probably one of the more difficult transitions, because they are both such different energies, and they really don't get each other. Some energies, like earth, can talk to fire and say, okay, I understand, you got to get all hot and passionate and burny, and, I can temper you a little by putting part of you out, but I can't really I can put all of you out, but geez, it's kind of an easy transition. But air to water is a hard transition, because it goes from very detached and above the world and not really connected into this kind of fluid emotional feeling place. So that all happens on the 17th. And whenever a planet changes sign, it does this last little hurrah thing when it's in the last degrees of Aquarius, which is going to happen while the eclipse is taking place. So Aquarius is going to be hurrahing at the same time that the eclipse is taking in place in Capricorn and Mercury is stationing to go direct. And the other thing is the moon in Aquarius is not going to have a chance to join with Jupiter one last time. It will actually join with Jupiter bright and early in the morning after Jupiter gets into Pisces. So the moon has to go into Pisces, and then it joins with Jupiter bright and early on the Martin Luther King Day. So this particular holiday, because next week for the States is a long weekend, it's Martin Luther King Day, so the 16th, 17th, and 18th promises to be a fairly emotional weekend because of the Pisces energy and the shift from Pisces and Jupiter and Aquarius into Pisces, and then the union of the Sun with it. The other thing that happens on the 18th is Venus goes into Aquarius, leaving behind Capricorn, where she's been eminently practical. And right behind her, the next day, on the 19th, the Sun goes into Aquarius. Again, when planets leave from Earth into air, right, so they're going from Capricorn into air, they're basically taking a piece of dirt and throwing it in the air, and you know how well that works. It's also with sandstorms. If you've ever been in the Middle East or in a desert when there's a sandstorm afoot, or there's the winds, and drawing a blank on the name of those winds that are really big in the Mediterranean, when the Sirocco's, I think, when the wind comes off the desert and rolls across the Caribbean or the Mediterranean Sea, and it makes for amazing turbulence. So Earth to Air, which is Capricorn going into air signs, are also very big in terms of energy kind of stimulation. And then, of course, because everybody's at the beginning of a new sign, they form a nasty aspect that you have to adjust to. You have to kind of pay attention to your blind spots. This is a big week for blind spots getting activated. So it's a rocking and rolling week. Partnership changes, adjustments, structural changes, structural collapses, because remember Saturn is stationing square to Pluto, and actually in a week or two, at the end of the month, he squares Pluto on the 31st. So structural changes and collapses. Eclipse, taking out the men, taking out the lights, helping us see things, removing things. Now, it is removing things on the north node. So the energy that leaves on this eclipse is actually positive energy, even though it feels like you're losing something, because it is taking place on the north node. So it's actually good news that you lose, hard as that is to believe. You know, because eclipses traditionally have meant a change in the structure or a change in a loss of things. And so, you know, because they are nodal, they're also karmic, meaning that they wake up those big, they're the turning points in our life, for lack of a better word. Now, this eclipse, you want to think back to 1991, because that's when it took place the last time. And this eclipse is from the 12 North series. And according to Bernadette Brady's book, The Eagle and the Lark, a textbook of predictive astrology, 12 North, this eclipse cycle started on May 19th, 1613, and it ends on June 17th, 2857. So the eclipse is about opportunities to accept greater responsibilities can come suddenly into the person's life. These new commitments will most likely come as a result of another individual being unable to carry on. Although the events which herald these opportunities may be difficult, the outcomes in terms of harmony or self-esteem are good. Okay? So the eclipse is going to bring some changes, structural changes. A lot of times this can show up as a boss change too, or a work change, because Saturn's stationing 2 days before the eclipse and Jupiter going into Pisces usually represents a more solitary thing. So there can be big job changes this week too. You know, like there can be layoffs at your firm, or there can be, you know, structural shifts around the authority figures in your life where you're suddenly not beholden to them anymore. You don't have to work for them actually. And your finish up cycles. So it's very much a, with all that energy in 4 or 5 days, it's a lot of energy. So the other part, how do you handle it? That's the next question. How do you handle it? You kind of don't take it personally. You recognize that the eclipse is moving you forward because it is taking place on the North Node. It's also taking place joined to Venus, meaning Venus is very, very active in the eclipse pattern. And Venus rules Libra, with a planet that Saturn stations in. So she's talking to Saturn, and she's in charge of Saturn as the eclipse takes place. So whatever the changes are this week, they're actually really good for you ultimately in the long run. Even if in on the short run, they don't feel so great. Venus and Saturn are in what's called mutual reception, meaning the two of them can talk to each other, and they are very chatty when they're in mutual reception. They kind of give each other, oh, well, you did this? Oh, well, yeah, you did that. Oh, okay, cool, let's go. You know, they can kind of swap places. So there's a whole structural energy that's very strong. And also because of the considerations of the way it is, because the Sun and Saturn are joined, or Jupiter, the Moon and Saturn are joined with Venus, they are also aspecting what's called the part of divorce. So we're going to hear about a lot of big divorces happening this week. You know, like the strange people are going to get married. Sorry, Marilyn, I know you're probably really not strange. You just look weird. And then a lot of prominent people or people that we know are going to say, you know what, we're calling it quits. We're getting divorced. So I think of Susan Sarandon and Tim Robbins. Apparently they split up last summer, but they just told us now. We could hear of other divorces this next week because the Sun and the Moon are traveling with Venus on the part of divorce and aspecting that, and also on the part of worldliness, where we all go, ah, you know, we thought it was good, but, you know, maybe not so good. The other thing that's happening is there's a lot of Earth excuse me, on this eclipse. And when you have a lot of earth energy, what happens is people want to get practical or down to earth. They want to ground the energy. They want to really understand what's going on here. And so there can be conversations like that. Try and avoid them if you can. Just go, yeah, okay, got it, and take the information and walk away and think about it. And wait until Venus gets into Aquarius and wait until Mercury starts to move. And then go back and ask again next week once you get a little distance from the energy. Once Jupiter goes into Pisces, and once Venus and Sun have shifted into Aquarius, go back and say, okay, so like, give me a little update on what's going on here. I know you said this last week, but like, what are we actually doing? Because remember, once Mercury shifts direction, a lot of the news that you got is going to change. It's going to shift somehow. It's going to adjust somehow. You're going to get the next part of the story. You're going to get the next part of the deal. And that will also happen. But don't react immediately. Just kind of gather the information and say, okay, well, what else do I need? What else do I need? And get that, do that part. But don't go talking to them for a whole long time. Just kind of pick up your stuff and go do something else and think about it. Think about what it is you want. Very often with this kind of energy, you feel like the change happened to you, but in actual fact, it's really a really good thing. It's, you've known it's been coming for a while. It's here. And the moon is moving very, very slowly. So when the moon moves slowly, we don't get it because the moon is slow. It takes us a while to emotionally process. Secondly, the moon's in an earth sign. It's a little dense when it's in Capricorn. It's like a rock. So again, you're not going to get it emotionally right away. Don't worry about it. Just take the information, walk away, think about it. Third, Venus is in Capricorn. She's in an earth sign too. So she's not going to be really processing that well either. Let's get her into Aquarius next Monday and revisit the situation. So whatever happens on Friday, say, great, let me think about it over the weekend and I'll get back to you. And go home. Leave the office. The Mercury station is at 11 in the morning, 11:52 in the afternoon. Say, great, let me think about it over the weekend and I'll get back to you then. I don't want to comment now. The other thing that's happening is the ascendant is in the Via Combusta. Now there's a bunch of stars in this one section of the sky called the Via Combusta. Now, you may not know Latin, but via is path and combustia is fire. So the chart's in the path of fire. Not a good thing. Meaning people are going to be very fiery, not necessarily knowing what to do with that energy. So again, walk away. Take that little Mercury stationary and keep your mouth shut and go do something else and think about what you want to actually do. Mercury is right next to Pluto, and he is stationing square to Saturn, right? So he is really not, he's deep right now, but he's deep in a paranoid place. So you want to give him a little bit of space to walk away and to think about what he wants to do before he speaks. He's also in the 12th house in the U.S. chart cast for Washington. Mercury's in the 12th house of the mind. So again, he's not necessarily going to be talking in his best manner. So again, giving him a little extra time to kind of come up with what he wants to do is a good thing. The other thing we have for the chart cast for Washington is we have what's called the finger of God formed with the midheaven, the sun, and Uranus, which means that information that comes out is going to affect the direction of where we're going. It's going to affect how we get there. And part of the process is saying, okay, well, what actually are we trying to accomplish? What did we actually do? And it's huge. So that's the other part, is paying attention to where you actually want to go with this. And again, you may not know, and that's totally fine. Take an advisement, walk away, say, I'll get back to you next week. Give me a little time to think about this, and I'll let you know what I want to do. And if you do it that way, you'll be in a much better shape little swig of cough syrup there. We love the cough syrup. All right, so forward. So a little astrology lesson on eclipses. What an eclipse is when the sun and the moon meet up with the north node and the south node. Now, every day, the sun rises and the moon rises and all the planets rise, and then they all set. And there's a place where the moon and the sun's path cross, meaning in the path of the rising and the setting. So the place where the moon is and the place where the sun is and where they meet is called the nodes. So they're not actually planets, but they're these very sensitive points because they're the place, the point of intersection of the sun and the moon. So kind of like, think about it, the moon walks along and she leaves a little note for the sun under a rock, and the rock is called the node. And then the sun comes along and he picks up the note and he reads it and he leaves a little note for her. This is before there were cell phones and text messaging. You used to have to write this stuff down. And he gives the node, and then the moon comes back and picks up the note the next day and sees what the sun said to her. And then she writes the sun a note and puts it back there. That's what the nodes are. They're the point of communication between the sun and the moon. And they are the point that is the connection point for all of us, where the sun and the moon say, if something comes in on this point, pay attention to it. So when the nodes are moving around in the heavens, which they do, you know, they're merry little modes, they move along, they go backwards through the sky, and they go through these different signs, takes about a year and a half in each sign. Every year, twice a year, the sun and the moon get to the same place at the same time. And when they do, they have a little dance that's called an eclipse. Now, depending on how close they are to the node, it can be a big eclipse or a little eclipse. And the way we know how close they are is we look at what the degree of the node is when the lunation happens. Anything within 10 degrees, and some people say 15 degrees, I like 10. Anything within 10 degrees does the eclipse. So the sun and the moon are right now going to be at 25, and the north node is at 21. So it's 4 degrees apart, which means it's kind of a big eclipse. The one on New Year's, the sun and the moon were at 10, and the nodes were at 22. So they were 12 degrees apart. So it was an eclipse, but it wasn't as big a deal as it could have been because it was kind of far apart. So the whole idea of eclipses is they bring to light things because the sun and the moon actually met at the rock. And if you remember your Cyrano de Bergerac story where he's whispering to her and she doesn't know what he looks like, and, you know, she's in love with the idea and he's, like, telling her stuff, but he's not really Cyrano, it's the guy telling him stuff. You know, the whole thing with eclipses is she goes, oh, my God, you're not the guy who I thought you were. And the sun goes, oh, well, I think I am. You know, like, I thought I was the guy you thought you, you know, they get kind of this, like, they get all excited because they finally met. You know how, like, you've emailed somebody, like, on Match.com for a while, and you're finally going to meet them? And this might be the person of your dreams? And then you get there and you go, no, you're not my person of the dreams. Or you go, wow, you're kind of cute, but is there chemistry on both sides? Is there, you know, what are we going to find? Are we going to see it really? What's going to really happen? That's what an eclipse is. It's that, are we going to see it really? Energy. So what eclipses do is because they are kind of a cosmic aha moment, they help us see things we never saw before. It's not that it wasn't there before. We just finally saw it. So that's what their purpose is they wake us up. They make us see things. Now, right now, the eclipses are particularly profound because they're in the sign of Capricorn saying we have to all grow up. And the south node's in the sign of the moon saying we're all in a little bit of a mood to be whiny and cranky and complain. Say, I don't want to grow up. But the north node in Capricorn says, got to grow up, kid. Got to grow up. And if you give yourself permission to grow up and do the responsible thing, that's what the eclipse wants you to do. And, you know, according to Bernadette Brady, you can get a promotion. You can get some wonderful new thing as this energy moves you forward and you take the place of someone who's unable to continue their duties. And if you're a person who has to step aside because you are unable to continue your duties, you're going on to something new because the eclipse is on the north node, moving you towards your future. When the eclipses are on the south node, like they were this summer, we lose a lot of stuff. So remember the summer of death where it seemed like everybody, as John Stewart said, everybody you know is dying? That's the eclipses on the south node. The eclipses now are on the north node saying, forward we go, we're ready to conquer the world. Time to conquer, time to conquer. And that's really what the point of this eclipse is. So we know that, and if we think about eclipses, that's your astrology lesson for today, you then have an idea of how to work with that energy. It's not personal. They're not trying to get you, but they are trying to make sure you see what's really going on in your life. And if possible, they're trying to promote you and move you into a new place. Okay? So Bill of VA wrote, "This week has shown some potential damaging revelations of the activities of Tim Geithner, suggesting he insisted that AIG pay their counterparts 100% on their CDs and conceal that information when AIG was already in negotiations with those counterparties for lesser payouts. Will Tim survive these revelations? Does he become a sacrificial lamb to cover up systemic abuses? Or is it the beginning of serious inquiry into the machinations of our financial arrangements? Thanks so much," from Bill. And he told me that Tim's chart, thank you, Bill, I love it when you look things up for me, was August 18th, 1961. So let's take a look at Tim's chart. Now, this is Tim Geithner, who's, you know, like one of the guys that supposedly saved up all this money by bailing out the banks and the insurance companies and whatever. August 18th, 1961, in Brooklyn. We don't have a time for Tim. So if we look at Tim's chart, what we see is a Sun Uranus. The guy's a little quirky. And the Sun, Uranus, and Mercury are all on the North Node. Tim was born on an eclipse. Uh-oh. The minute we see that, we go, Tim, I think you're in a little trouble. There's an eclipse a-coming, and you're an eclipse baby. So what you did on the last eclipse when everything was in Aquarius and Leo is now coming out on this eclipse when everything's in Saturn and Cancer, because remember, the nodes go backwards. So Tim has a Sun, Uranus, Mercury on the North Node. So Sun, Uranus does weird things, and it thinks it's the king. Then if we look at the other part of his chart, he has Saturn and Jupiter in Capricorn, retrograde, across from the chart, on the part of fortune with the noon chart, which I'm going to use because the noon chart shows you the public perception. Those puppies are in an inconjunct. So he's got an inconjunct going in his chart right now. And they are inconjunct to the Sun and Uranus. And the node and Mercury are inconjunct to Juno, the planet of partnerships. Now, in the sky, what that means is in Tim's chart, we have a finger of God. And that would suggest that Tim had some improper marriages that propelled him forward, Mercury on the North Node, but could also take him down. Because it is a finger of God. Now, right now, the eclipse is on the Saturn-Jupiter. And the North Node is coming to that point, and actually the eclipse is on Saturn. The Sun is on Saturn, and the North Node's on Saturn, and Venus is on Saturn, and the Moon's on Saturn. They're all sitting right there triggering his Saturn. And we also have Pluto squaring his Juno, suggesting that his partnerships will be revealed. And we also have Pluto squaring his Mars in Libra, right? So he doesn't really act on his own behalf. He's Mars in Libra. He acts in partnership. So we can anticipate that Tim acts for partners as opposed to for himself. And to find out who he acts for, we look to see the ruler of Libra, which is Venus, and Venus is in Cancer. And then we look for the Moon, because Venus is in Cancer, we look for the Moon. And again, we don't know who Tim works for, but we do see the Moon in Scorpio joined to Neptune. So he kind of maybe does deals for people that he shouldn't do deals for, and they promise him he gets to be the king if they do it for him. Sun, Uranus, North Node. However, right now we're having Saturn opposite Uranus. So if Kim's getting taken down, he's going to be gone by the end of April, maybe sooner. Mars is retrograde right now, so this story may not get a lot of traction. It depends on how well the people log it. But once Mars goes direct, we can anticipate a bit of problems for Tim. We also have the eclipse on his Saturn exposing the systemic abuses. Remember, the eclipse is going to do things to the Saturn. And interestingly, Tim has a Venus-Saturn opposition. So when he does bad things with his Venus, Saturn comes along after 7 to 12 and says, not so good. We're not so happy with this. And then he has to pay the piper. It looks good when he starts it at 17, but by the time we get to 24, it's a problem. And by the time we get to 29, big problem. Now, he has a bad news, good news, so I don't think this is a horrible thing for him, but I do think he will get taken out on it. And the other part is that, you know, one of the things that when I was at the astrology conference in August, you know, it was an international conference with people from all around the world. So the American astrologers were all going, yeah, yeah, it's all over, it's all over. All the European astrologers, the Russian astrologers, the Thailand astrologers, the French astrologers, the English astrologers, the Scotch astrologers, they were all going, 2015, baby. It ain't over till 2015. So if we think about what we've known from other Pluto transits, Pluto's only at 3. We don't really know what Pluto has in store for us until we get to 15. But we do know that the beginning part, it can look like Pluto gets away with shit, i.e. bailing out things at 100%, rather than making people take less. And because Pluto is in Capricorn, and because the Moon is in Scorpio, Moon's in its fall, Mars is in its fall, Venus is in Scorpio, so when she does mutual reception with the Moon, she's in her fall. I mean, we're not talking a lot of good luck on this part. Jupiter's in his fall. So I think Tim's going down, but I don't know that he won't take other people with him. And I do think that we have to have some exposure to this. You know, they basically stole a lot of money from the American taxpayer, and we haven't gotten a whole lot, and now they're paying themselves all these really big bonuses. And come the summer, the revolution starts, you know, because Uranus and Uranus and Jupiter get into Aries and they square Pluto. So we have a kind of a shot across the bow then, and then we calm down a little, but then we get really nasty next year. So I think I think the collapse will happen, and we'll have a secondary collapse starting in the summer, June. And they'll shore it up. But it's kind of like the Catholic Church, you know. They were like, oh, no, there aren't that many pedophile priests. There's not that big of a problem. Well, come to find out, people kept digging, and it was a big problem. And the fact that they haven't fixed anything and that this is coming out on the eclipse and on the Mercury station and as Saturn station's on Tim's Mars and it's in conjunct to his Chiron on the South Node, I don't think this is good news for Tim. So I'm thinking Tim's going, and he is an eclipse baby, so when he does fall, Sun Uranus, he falls pretty spectacularly. And his Mercury's at the last degree of Leo, so there's an imperiousness with which he made his decisions. And Jupiter's now getting off of that south node, so that imperiousness is going to be exposed. And at that point, I think people go, why are we letting this guy run shit? The next part is we look at his progressions, and they're kind of interesting, truth be told. He has his progressive Mercury and Mars have changed into Scorpio, so there was a bit of a payoff for Tim on this, too. I think he maybe made some money on the back end. Don't know for sure. Hope that's not actionable, but I'm looking at this and going, there's something in it for him. Then we've got the Moon has left the sign of Leo a month ago, where it was for the last 30 months, and now it's in the sign of Virgo, and in about 8 months, it comes 6 months it comes to Pluto, and it comes to progress Pluto in 8 months. So that's also when the details start to really unravel. Progress Moon to Pluto as stuff comes out. 4 months from now, it gets to Venus. There's a paper trail, so we'll find the paper trail. Progress Sun's in Libra in the 12th house. So while we'd like to bury it, I don't know that it's getting buried because the Moon is hidden. And now the Moon is in Virgo by progression and by solar arc. So Virgo Moon is also not a happy placement for Venus. Or Venus is in Virgo, not a happy placement for Venus. So again, she'll tell tales. And Venus is opposite, progress Venus is opposite solar arc Jupiter. So his luck's about to run out. So I'm thinking not a good thing for Tim. That would be my take. Plus, Pluto, by transit, is going to station on his solar arc Moon in Capricorn at 3. So it's going to be, were you working for the American people or were you working for the corporations? And I think the answer will probably be working for the corporations, and that will be problematic. And if you consider the fact that AIG paid Goldman Sachs tons and tons and tons of money, because Goldman owned a lot of those CDOs, and Goldman is one of the few banks surviving, you know, and is also the board of many of the people in charge of the world of finance in the United States, are Goldman people. It's a very kind of revolving door energy. So I do think we'll have some major fallout from it. That would be my take. All right, so that's my answer for Bill of Virginia. Good question, Bill. We love those technical political questions. And now I'm going to have to go Google Tim because I read this when I popped on for the show about 10 minutes ago. So now I'm like really curious what Tim actually did. Okay, so we'll take callers. We don't have a whole lot of time left. We have 9 minutes, so we'll do power calling. 347-215-7467. Repeat, 347-215-7467 is the call-in number. And if you have a question when I pick you up, just tell me what it is and tell me your birth information, and we'll try and get a couple in before the show's over. Remember, this is Ann Ortley, and this is the week that is coming ahead. Is the week of January 11th, 2009. Moon's gonna. I forgot to do the moon parts too. I missed that part. Moon in Sagittarius on Monday. And in Tuesday, closing aspect is lovely. It's a sextile to Jupiter. Monday, Tuesday, great days to get things out the door. Wednesday, Thursday, moon's in Capricorn. Closing aspect is in conjunction to Venus, a good day to make proposals or do proposals or try and create things, you know, figure out what your work is. Moon goes into Aquarius at noon, so the morning is void in the morning of the eclipse in the United States on the East Coast. And it's in Aquarius on Friday afternoon, Saturday, Sunday, joins Neptune on Sunday, which is a conjunction, which is generally pretty nice. So it's a good week for the closing aspects are all reasonably positive. So forward with motion, except for that void moon on the evening. Well, there's one late in the night on the 12th, but the one in the afternoon, the morning of the 15th. All right, so we'll try the callers, see if it works. Hello, caller 708. How are you? You there?
Do you hear me?
I hear you. How are you?
I'm fine. I actually was just listening.
Oh, okay. All right. So you don't have a question?
Well, I could.
Well, no, I've got other callers. So if you don't have a question, I'll go pick them up. But thank you for listening.
Awesome.
Okay.
Bye.
Hi, caller 111. How are you? Are you there? No answer from 111. I wonder if they're just listening, too. Okay, now we'll try caller 212.
Hi, Ann.
Hi,
can
there.
You hear me?
Yeah, who's this?
It's Veronica.
Hi, Veronica. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Good. What's up? Question?
Well, I don't have a question so much. I just wanted to make a comment on your last column.
Okay.
You had a reader write in and say that, you know, the whole Mars retrograde envy thing was negative and dark. And I was listening to Alan Cohen radio show. Actually, I called him on this question too, but I was asking him about envy.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things he told me, because sometimes I have a hard time handling other people's envy, was that envy, you can just take it and make it NV, the letters NV, and it can stand for new vision.
Oh, I like that. Very
so, you know, if you envy someone, it may be that they might be providing a new vision for you.
Very good.
And
nice
so
it's, reframe.
Oh.
Yeah, no, that's a nice reframe.
Yeah, so I just wanted to call. I was thinking about it because I had, you know, reread your column from last week, and I thought, well, you know, I don't know that envy is necessarily, you know, he did a nice reframe on it. It's not necessarily always that negative. So I just wanted to call and pass that on.
Yeah, no, I think that's true. I think it's, you know, it's interesting because a few people wrote on it. One woman wrote who she actually expressed her envy to her brother, and, you know, because she was envious of some of the stuff he had. And relative to her. And she said it felt really, you know, he listened very carefully and thanked her for her whatever. But she basically said, I feel really envious of what you have. And it made her feel better to own it. You know, it's like one of those little dark things that we don't always own. But I think you're right. It does give a new vision. Because when you are envious, you want what the other person has. And maybe you didn't know you wanted it.
Right.
But when you see they have it, you go, ooh, I like that. It's only when we think we can't have it that it really gets ugly. Because what it should do is inspire you to say, well, I do want that. Let me go get that for myself. Or get something like, I don't have to kill the other person to have theirs.
Right.
But I want that. I can see that that's something I want. Yeah. It's an excellent book. And I mean, we got Mars and Leo for a while. So we're going to have a couple more bouts of it. But people did react pretty strongly to that column. And I was just like, you know, I just report. I'm not saying you're a dark person if you feel envy, but it also when people feel envy coming at them, they don't always know what to do with it because how do you handle it? You know, you feel it. You feel it energetically. It feels very dark. But if you name it or you say, you know, what's going on here, it's very much a denied feeling rather than owned, which makes it even darker, makes it go lower, makes it go meaner. So.
Right.
I think it's hard. So what do you do when you feel envy coming at you?
Well, I've been having problems with it because I have a tendency just to shy away and I'll just shrink.
Yeah.
You know, I'm always concerned that I can feel the person's, you know, if I feel that somebody's being resentful of something that I have, even though I know I earned it, it's like I'll have this little voice inside of me go, but I earned it.
I worked really hard for it.
So I don't seem to be comfortable with, you know, I guess I feel like I haven't worked hard or something.
Well, or you feel it's annihilatory. You know, what Lorraine said to me is it's annihilatory. It wants your stuff, so it wants what you have. I know when I was working on it, I have a Venus Saturn aspect, so it's trouble asking for things. And I duck a little when I have to ask. But, you know, when I had to work up saying, okay, this is my rate, and I can remember being on a call with someone, and I was doing computer programming, had my own business, and we had rates, but the rates included admin costs, all this other stuff. So I said, you know, the rate's, you know, like $80 an hour. And he goes, well, I don't make that much money, you know. And I'm like, okay, you know, like, what do I do now? And he's like, I can't believe you make that much money an hour. And I kind of went, yeah. And I said something to a friend of mine, and she's like, well, why didn't you look at him and say, should you be telling me this? And I was like, oh, that's, like, way too brave for me, you know. But it was like, oh, yeah, why, you know, should you be telling me how much you make an hour? You know, I have to tell you because you're going to pay me a rate. But do I, you know, do you really want to tell me what you make? And so it's kind of one of those things where we don't know. We aren't taught how to handle it. It's very much a dismissed, oh, that's my mother used to call it that green-eyed monster's back. And it'd be like, well, the green-eyed monster, what do we do with him? How do we get him to stop being so green-eyed, you know? Yeah,
I'm puzzled by it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm still reading the book, so I anticipate there'll be more columns on it or more feedback on it because I do think envy is a big issue and how do we work with it in Mars and Leo. But this week we got a lot going on without even having to worry about envy. So.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. Thanks for calling, Veronica. That was great.
Thanks, Ann.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
All right. Hello, are you there, 1-1?
No.
Huh? No? Okay. Ah, well. Off we go. All right. So we're getting towards the end of the show. I got 1 minute remaining. 7:08, you there? Are you listening? Oh. All right. Cool, we go. All right, so we're towards the end of the show. 90 seconds remaining, according to the British lady, who whispers in my ear how much time I have left. So the week is a feature week. This is like the biggest week of the year. Thus far, of course, it's only the second week of the year, but it is a really big week. And when we get to the summer, we're going to have a couple more big weeks. But this week's really big. And the reason it's big is we have a planet stopping, a planet being eclipsed, a planet being eclipsed and taking Venus with it, Mercury stationing and going direct, Jupiter changing into a new sign, Venus changing into a new sign, the sun changing into a new sign. And all this happens in the space of 6 days. That's a lot of activity. That's a lot of up and down. That's a lot of, woo, that's a fun one. And it's in the path of fire. So we can expect to be very, very passionate, very impassioned, and we can expect our structures and our information knowledge from today to next week to be radically different. You're going to have a big revelation this week. So just when it happens, go, okie dokie, let me think about that, and I'll get back to you. Have a great week. This is Ann Ortley signing off on the weekly weather, cosmological, astrological report from my bright red desk on the Upper East Side. Have a good week. Remember, it is the eclipses. They're here, and they're not always fun, but they are entertaining. And if you can laugh about it, that's half the battle. And whatever happens, the point of it is to move you forward on your path. That's what it's for. Take care and have a good week. Bye.